Can we start, Lwazi?
Good morning, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes.
Good morning, Chairperson. We can start our meeting, Chair.
The department is here. Just checking whether
Okay,
it's morning in
let me
progress.
quickly check, Chair.
Right, let me start, honourable members. At least, in fact, I hope that the department is here as we are going to get the briefing from them. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, our team from Parliament that supports this portfolio committee, the A team, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, the Minister, Mr. Sihle Zikalala, the Deputy Minister, Ms. Barry Swart, the Acting DG, Ms. Nyeleti, and their team, and all those that are part of our portfolio committee, greetings to you all this cold morning in Western Cape. This month is known in South Africa as a youth month because of what happened in 1976, June 16, 1976, which means that this year, we will be marking 46 years of commemorating the June 16, which took the lives and changed the political landscape of South Africa when young people, not only young people, students from the schools stood up in something that was never seen to revolt against the education system that was force-fed amongst black students of the time. They are part of our glorious history of South Africa. They are part of those who fought for this freedom. We are standing here in this representing our political parties in this Parliament of South Africa in 2023 because they stood up for us. Some of us were very young at the time, but we look at them and see those that were fearless, those that fought for what young people want at the time. And we are standing here representing not only us, but also the majority of young people that are out there looking for jobs, that are in schools, that are being abused by their partners, that are homeless, hoping that whatever decisions that we take in these committees in the parliament it will bring closer to what our big brothers then, to what the fathers of those that are young today, the grandfathers of those that are young today, fought for. Yes, we obtained the freedom to vote, but you all know that the majority of South Africans don't have the economic freedom, which can bring a massive change if the economic freedom can be obtained by the majority of the citizens of this country. With those few words, honorable members, I welcome you in this meeting of today. I felt that I must share those few words, knowing full well that on Friday we will be celebrating the June 16, 46 years of young people standing up, fighting for their rights. Do we have any apologies, Ms. Lwazi? Sorry, Mr. Lwazi.
Good morning, Chairperson. I only have two apologies from Honorable Van Staden and from the Minister, Minister Zikalala. Those are the only two apologies that I've received, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Lwazi, for those hoping that you have noted them. We then go to the item of today. The topic that we're going to deal with today, which will be a briefing from the department and the Parliamentary Village Board on the villages that members are staying in. It's not for the first time that we are dealing with this issue. We have had even an oversight visit to these villages. We are staying in these villages. There are a lot of issues that we raised when we visited these villages, but also Auditor General raised an issue about the Parliamentary Village Board, which is there, which is not functioning according to Auditor General, which is budgeted for, raising it as one of the issues that the department needs to look at. I hope that in the reports that we will be getting, we'll also get a clear indication. And we asked that the board should be invited. I know was indicated that the person that he spoke to raised some issues, but I just hope that the board members are in the meeting. Let's turn over to the department then to present.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee and the Village Board and my colleagues. We're here to do the presentation as requested. Honorable Chairperson?
We lost you somewhere there. We lost you somewhere there.
Okay, I was saying good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the committee. I have with me Mr. Mzwandi Lesazona, who is the chief director responsible for our prestige portfolio. He'll be leading the presentation this morning. If he can be given sharing rights, please, or the presentation can be flighted for him. Mzwandi.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. And good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Can the presentation be flighted for me, please?
I have given you rights to share the presentation.
please give me the right to share, Mr. Ben. I'll share it for him.
Thank you very much, Acting DG.
I'm unable to share. I'm not sure what's wrong with my file. Let me try again.
Okay, let me try to flight it, Acting DG.
But it was there on our screen. Who was sharing? Okay, it's also there again.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, my presentation will cover, firstly, let me apologize about my voice this morning. I'm not feeling well, but I felt that I needed to be part of this meeting as well.
There's a voice there.
Yes, I'm so sorry. It's Honorable Sitlolo here. I just want to ask the colleague if you could just enlarge the presentation for our benefit, please.
Okay. I don't know whether it's possible when they are struggling even to share. Oh, no, it's good.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair, and members of the committee, honorable members. I will be assisted today by my colleagues. Tembeka will be taking through on the projects that are currently underway in the parliamentary villages, and Tembela will also be talking on the parliamentary villages board. If I may just go on the second slide, I will deal with the overview of the accommodation in the parliamentary villages. There are about 666 residences in Acacia Park, 493 residences in Pelican Park, and 108 residences in Laboria Park. The people that are allowed to stay in the parliamentary villages is the members of parliament, sessional officials, support staff to disabled MPs, political parties, parliamentary staff, and DPW officials performing social duties. The maintenance in the parliamentary villages is maintained by TEFLA, which was appointed on the 8th of April in 2022 for a period of 5 years. Tembeka will take us through the details of the scope of work of that corrective maintenance, of the corrective and preventative maintenance that we are doing in the parliamentary villages. Another slide. On the access control, in the parliamentary villages is monitored by the SAPS, which they are doing it on a 24-hour basis. And the access control and the perimeter fence and other systems that monitors, like the intercom, the cameras, are all installed and maintained by DPW through the facilities management contract, which is TEFLA. On the bus service and at the parliamentary villages, we have two bus services. The one carries the learners, and the other one carries the members of parliament. And we have a two-year contract, which was concluded, which will be concluded on the 24th of February 2024, and is rendered by a company called Maestri. And the transport services for learners is and sessional officials is carried by a company called Top Number, and it's a two-year contract which will be concluded on the 11th of April 2024. Chair, I will be available for further questions and to elaborate once my colleagues are finished. Chairmaga will take us through the projects that are currently happening in the parliamentary villages. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sazwana. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Acting DG and my colleagues. There are currently three projects that are currently active in the three parliamentary villages. The first project is the sustainable maintenance and minor upgrades to residential units across the three parliamentary villages. This project includes all the brick residences currently occupied by the Members of Parliament. The second project, Mr. Sazwana has already indicated on his slide, it's the official residential accommodation. There we are providing an integrated facilities management services for a period of 5 years. This project includes maintenance, corrective and preventative at the three villages and all the other residences, official residences of the executive. And then the third project, it's in Acacia Park. It's the demolition of the 112 prefabricated houses. And we are then constructing about 112 three-bedroom brick houses with the associated infrastructure. This project will address the concerns of the MPs on the deterioration and the associated risk on the prefab residences in Acacia Park. But the details are part of this presentation. Next slide, please, Acting DG. Thank you. The first project is the renovations of the 245 units across the three villages. We are renovating 121 units in Acacia Park, 56 members of Parliament units in Laboria Park in Belha, and we're also refurbishing 69 units in Pelican Park. The high level scope of work is general building renovations, including aprons, painting, etc. We're refurbishing the kitchens and the bathrooms. We're also refurbishing the electrical and the electronic services in the units. And we are also attending to some structural work where necessary. So those are the units that are having structural issues. We are addressing those. The overall expenditure of this project through the financial years, the project started in the 2020 financial year. We had an expenditure of 7.4 million for the 6 months in that year. Then in 2021-22, we spent 31.3 million. And then 2022-23, we spent 27 million. The total expenditure on this project is about 66,357,000. 467 rand and 27 cents of the budgeted amount of 88,997,040 rand. Next slide, the progress on Acacia Park. I think the members chair would remember that on the first section we started renovating 50 units at a time. And we had challenges in executing the project then. Then we had to take a pause period in July. So the units were completed on the 11th of July, 2021, the first section. Then we took a pause period between July and August to rephase the project. And we started taking smaller units in order for the contractor to be able to execute. So section 1.2, the 24 units were completed on the 25th of January 2022, and section 1.3, 22 units were completed on the 6th of May. Section 1.4, 24 units were completed on the 1st of September 2022. Then we moved to Laboria Park. Thank you, Acting DG. In Laboria Park, we started with section 2.1. We executed 28 units, which commenced in July on 2022. The 28 units, they were practically completed on the 9th of December. Then we achieved works completion on the 14th of December, and the units were handed over to the user clients. Then members on section 2.1 have been moved back in their units from Acacia Park. Chair, as a little background, we were using the Mopane flats as transit units for this project. So members had to move to Acacia Park when their units are under renovation. So we moved them back when the units have been completed. Section 2.2 was executed by we were executing 27 units, and practical completion has been achieved. The logistics to move the remaining members to Section 2.2 to La Boreal Park is underway. The consultants and the team, technical team, is with Prestige. They're still looking at the snag inspections for the last four units, of which works completion will then be issued once those snags have been addressed by the contractor. Then we move to Pelican Park. A meeting was held with the Pelican Park Residents Committee on the 5th of April 2023. The purpose of the meeting was to introduce the project to the members and to start the logistical arrangement. 25 units in Section 3.1, and this morning they corrected this, and we apologize to the members, is now 28 units that have been handed over to the contractor. I think there's a few other remaining units that still need to be emptied for the contractor to comment to work on those units, but currently we're working on 28. Working Pelican Park started on the 4th of May 2023. The overall progress on the project is sitting at 82% as at the end of May, and the time lapse is 90%. Of the 90%, there are still extension of time claims that are being adjudicated by our implementing agent, but the project completion is planned for the 21st of December. This will conclude all the work in this project in terms of the units that we are executing. The next slide, please, Acting DG. Then in terms of the challenges, I think when I presented on the scope of work, we spoke about the structural issues. This is an ongoing issue. There are surface beds in some of the units that were found not to be structurally sound, and we had to remove those surface beds and relay the floors. This unplanned work has resulted in extension of contract period, and it has attracted a minor additional cost in terms of the time that has passed. So the defective, in terms of the mitigation, the defective surface beds are being removed and replaced with new. As an example, currently in Pelican Park, I think three units are experiencing the same challenge. So this challenge has been ongoing throughout the project. Then the second challenge, I think this was in La Boreal Park, the tree roots that were found, they were affecting some of the units, the foundations of the units. And as a mitigation strategy, the FM contractor was instructed to remove the problematic roots and some trees in the parks, and work on addressing this issue of the roots is ongoing. Next slide, please. Then in terms of the socio-economic report, the project has a target of 112 job opportunities for the current financial year and has created in total 206 work opportunities. This has been verified by the EPWP unit. And at the end of May, the targeted jobs created were as follows. The contractor's permanent staff is 14, the skilled workers is 61, the semi-skilled workers is 26, and the highest number that has been employed throughout this project, and the highest number was 176. That was in February 2021 when we started with the project. Then in terms of the SMME report, the target for the participation of the SMMEs is 40% on the overall contract value. The project has appointed about 25 SMMEs since it commenced. And at the end of May 2023, we had spent about 35 million that has been paid and verified to the SMMEs. The expenditure on the SMME accounts is at the moment standing at 91% of the targeted 40%. The contractor is appointing a few to conclude their 40% on the last part of Pelican Park. Pelican Park. Then in terms of the National Youth Service, the contractor allows for the training of the selected candidates as part of the EPWP on the training initiatives. There are currently 35 NYS learners enrolled for soft and hard services skills training program through the project, I beg your pardon. The project supports a further 15 youths with their technical and vocational trainings through the TVET colleges. And at the end of May 2023, we had spent 2.6 million through the NYS program. That concludes the report on the MP houses. The next report is with regards to the SM contract that we are currently executing. This contract has commenced on the 8th of March, and the site handover was the 9th of March, but the contractor actually started work on site in April 2022, as indicated in the previous slides. And the contract completion date is 8th of March, 2027. This is a 60-month contract period that we have contracted with TEFLA. In terms of the contract value, the tendered amount excluding VAT is 443,970,109.85. Then we have something that we call contract price adjustment, which is the CPAP. Outside that value, which is estimated at the time to 48 million. When you add VAT of 73 million, the expected contract completion value would be 566,658,000. Then in terms of the contract period, we've already indicated it's 60 months, and the contractor has been on site for 15 months as at the end of May. In terms of the work, the facilities that are maintained by TEFLA. It's in Acacia Park, Laboria Park, Pelican Park, Grotteskier Estate, Woma Estate, Fernwood, Regelsdal, outlaying apartments, outlaying houses, and Elwin Court. The total number of facilities that is being maintained by TEFLA is 964. This includes the 596 residences, 233 apartments, and 132 support buildings. This is the total number of the facilities. If you look at the houses and apartments only, it's 831, but the total number of the facilities is 964. The next slide, please, Digi. Then in terms of the work, the scope and the methodology, we had indicated before that we are using a hybrid model. So we have a preventative maintenance and corrective maintenance. Preventative maintenance entails the rendering of services and servicing of equipment according to the predetermined maintenance control plan to maintain and service components of equipment, to readjust, reset, clean, corrosion protect all components of equipment, and to also carry out all implied actions to maintain installations in their present functional condition. The preventative maintenance is aimed at minimization of breakdowns and will be done on a 24/7 and 365 days basis. So there's no day that the facilities manager in management company is not on site or is not working on this project. Then in terms of the corrective maintenance, thank you, Acting DG. In terms of corrective maintenance can be defined as equipment that is identified where repair work or replacement of the equipment will be required to restore the condition of infrastructure to a maintainable condition. We would remember that some of these sites have items that have reached their lifespan or that are not maintainable. So we are bringing these items to a maintainable state. The corrective maintenance includes the replacement of repairable of dysfunctional items. Repairs to equipment facilities will be only implemented where the equipment will be able to achieve its full functionality upon repairs and will only be done on an instruction of the consultant. So we work with the consultants to identify these items, and as a department with Prestige and Construction Management, we look at these items and we are in agreement, then the consultant issues the instructions to the contractor. The benefits of this methodology is that the construction management work are based on the conditional assessment and can be prioritized accordingly, as well as the annual building plans. So the contractor is required annually to do conditional assessment, and we look at the conditions of these facilities. Then we look at these minor projects that must be implemented, and then the instruction is issued to the contractor to continue with the corrective maintenance where applicable. The next item, next slide, Acting DG. In terms of the amount claimed to date by the contractor, we have paid 69.6 million, including VAT, This is the summary. Below is the summary of the cause log and the work packages and the work instructions provided to TEFLA. In terms of the call center that is currently active, we had 3,938 number of calls received. The closed calls is 3,878. And where we do not have access, or where the service provider has no access to sites, there's only three sites, and 37 calls have been cancelled, and six calls have been placed on hold, and the current active calls on site is 14. The number of work packages, the work packages are related with relations to the corrective maintenance project, and the contractor has been issued with 31 work packages. They've only completed 12, and 19 is currently underway. Then in terms of the, thank you, Acting Tishy. The works instructions are related to planned preventative maintenance, where and something is not the works instructions are issued under planned preventative maintenance. It's neither the calls that have been logged or it's items that the consultants have identified. The instructions issued to date to TEFLA, work instructions on the planned preventative maintenance, is 492. They've only completed 402, and 90 of those works instructions are still underway. Thank you, Acting DG. The social economic report for this contract, because we're only on site for 15 months, we have a target of 30%, which is roughly about 153 million over the 5-year period. As at the end of May, we've appointed about 16 SMMEs, and we have spent 2.8 million on those SMMEs. So this is 2.8 million against the 153 million that needs to be spent over the 5-year period. In terms of the National Youth Service, there is this contract also allows for the training of the candidates. And currently we have 36 National Youth Service learners enrolled for soft and hard skills through the project. The targets that we have on the project, and I apologize that we didn't include this on the slide, and the contractor is allowed to appoint about 18 NYS learners per year over the 5-year period. So that's 18 times 5, it will give us about 90 NYS learners throughout the project. Thank you, Acting DG. Then in terms of the last project, which is the prefabricated structures, the project will be implemented in phases due to the large number of units affected by the project. The priority will be given to the 112 prefabricated residences, including the 16 residential units situated under the ESCOM servitude, which needs to be demolished. So we are replacing 113th one is the unit that was burned a few years ago. So we are reinstating that unit as part of this project. The construction period for the various phases will vary depending on the number of units demolished per phase, because we can't demolish all 112 at the same time. The project has been allocated funds in the current financial year and is also added on the procurement plan. Today, the NBAC in head office, they will be looking at the submission to allocate this project to an implementing agent, and we are expecting that we will get feedback today. Then in terms of the program that we have for this project, on the next slide, Acting DG, we are expecting to have our kickoff meeting with the implementing agent on the 26th of June, which is next week. We will give them 2 weeks to do a site assessment, to look at the type of consultants that are required and to make determination or finalize the scoping of the project. Then the implementing agent will conclude their planning for the project within 3 months. We are running this project as a turnkey project, so the appointment of the consultant and the contractor will be done at the same time. So the expectation that the implementing agent will appoint a contractor between the 20th of October and the 20th of January 2024. And we are expecting that then the contractor with his full team, will conclude the planning process sectors in April 2024, and the construction period will be determined at the number of units that can be demolished at the time. We've had an experience with the MP Houses project, so we would not want to repeat that mistake. So during the planning process, the team will have to determine if they can construct 10 units at the time, or if they would be able to do the 25 units like we have done with the previous project. So those dates will be provided as soon as we have had an assessment report from the implementing agent, and then we'll be able to communicate the project execution plan at the time. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. And over to you, Mr. Fazon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thembeka. Tembela, can you come in with the functions of the board? Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, Acting DG and colleagues. Chairperson, mine is to talk to the matters related to the Parliamentary Villages Management Board. Perhaps, Chairperson, I need to be upfront and state that currently there is no functional Parliamentary Villages Management Board. The last board that we had, its period lapsed on the 20th of November 2022. However, we had then decided to, for the benefit of the committee, then to give a brief overview of the front runner to the board, because prior to the board, you'd have the residence committees. And their functions. According to the Parliamentary Villages rules, conditions, and general information, a residence committee for each of the parliamentary villages is elected annually by tenants during an annual general meeting. As the name indicates, this is a board that represents and liaises with the residents and liaises with the Department of Public Works on matters pertaining to the needs of the tenants in their respective parliamentary villages. The Department of Public Works from time to time engages and or liaises with the residence committee for approval of booking requests or utilization of facilities in the villages. Chairperson, this was prompted by the fact that previously there were the members of the residents in the villages were of the view that DPW officials stations in the villages were leasing out the facilities to friends, families. So then a decision was taken that the approving authority then would become the residence committee. Now what would happen is that if a member of parliament, a sessional or a sessional official wants to book a hall, the bowling club, then such requests are then received by the department and then forwarded to the respective residence committee for approval. Furthermore, one of the functions of the residence committee is to look at the incidences of unbecoming or unruly behavior by tenants or their dependents, which are then referred to the residence committee for investigation. After an investigation, the matter may be referred to the DG of DPW, who may cancel the tenant's lease and evict such residents if the residence behavior is such that cancelling the lease is the only reasonable option. There have been incidences of unruly behavior, particularly over weekends. This is where now these matters are then referred to the residence committees to deliberate and investigate them, because sometimes they had to do with dependents of either members of parliament or sessional officials who are most of the time during weekends are away, and then you'd find that the dependents become unruly, they would have parties. So such these are the matters that are then referred to the residence committee. The committee, according to the same rules, the committee may propose amendments to the rules to the Director General of Public Works. The amendments form part of terms of lease for ensuing year, if the Director General, after consulting the committee, approved them. Now, what has become apparent and clear, Chairperson, is that Currently, it has been discovered that indeed, in fact, most residence committees are of the view that we need to look at the rules because they are very old. Now, this is a matter that once we have functional residence committees, this is one of the matters that will be taken up with. Because currently, again, Chairperson, there are no functional residence committees because also their term has lapsed. We are supposed to have annual general meetings. We have tried last year. However, the turnout was the turnout was not good. And then we are in the process of engaging the House Chairperson in internal arrangement with the view of asking for assistance in ensuring that the information is sent out to all members of parliament and sessional officials to come and attend the meeting so that we can then elect new residences. But the biggest challenge that we have is that the residence committee, like the parliamentary village, the term is 1 year, whereas ideally it would be nice to have either of them on a 5 year term. Thank you, Acting DG. Next slide, Acting DG, please. Now this one I'll deal with the establishment of the Parliamentary Villages Management Board. According to Section 2 of the Parliamentary Villages Management Board Act number 96 of 1998, it establishes the Parliamentary Villages Board as a juristic person and requires the minister to appoint as members of the board the Director General of Public Works, who shall be the chairperson of the board, three residences, of whom two shall be parliamentarians, and one shall be a sessional official from every place of accommodation contemplated in the definition of a parliamentary village, elected annually by residence committee of the place in question. The chairperson of the residence committee of every place of accommodation contemplated in the definition of the parliamentary villages. Now, in simple terms, chairperson, now what happens when the board is established? You would get three residences. The two will be members of parliament, and the three chairperson from Pelican Park, Acacia Park, and Laboria Park, automatically they become members of the board by virtue of the position they hold. Thank you, Acting DG. Now, coming to the functions of the Parliamentary Villages Management Board. According to the Parliamentary Villages Management Board Act, Section 3, subsection A, Section 3, 1, subsection A, the board shall provide transport from and to parliamentary villages for residents who are in Cape Town. It stipulates that the board shall observe any tariffs fixed by the minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Transport in respect of any service referred to in paragraph A, and shall be subjected to such direction as the minister may issue after consultation with the board, and perform such duties with the minister may determine. Section 2 stipulates that the board may take steps necessary to provide for all the needs of the residents of the parliamentary villages, liaise with the South African Police Service regarding entry into and safety in parliamentary villages, and the investigations of crimes committed in the parliamentary villages, make recommendations with regards to any matter contemplated in paragraph B to the Minister of State Security. Now, Chairperson, on this one, it is clear that the major function of the board is to provide transport for members of parliament and sessional officials from the villages to parliament and back. However, Chairperson, if I may say, currently this function, in fact, most functions of the board are carried out by the officials from the Department of Parliament of Public Works. There was even the issue of transport, the whole process, it's led by DPW officials. And ideally, it would be great if the board when one is functional would be involved, because now everything from arranging meetings, the issues of financials, everything else of the board is done by TPW official. Next acting DG. The current status of the board. Currently, there is no functional villages board as the term of the previous board lapsed on the 20th November 2022. As I've said, the tenure of the board is interlinked with the term of the residence committees. And like that of the board, it is also that which is now I've already alluded to. The term of the residence committees is also lapsed. Attempts were made to convene residents annual general meetings with a view to elect new residence committees as board members are appointed from the residence committee. The first attempt, which was poorly attended, was on the 23rd of November 2022, and it was agreed by those in attendance that we should try to convene another meeting early 2023. However, convening the annual general meetings have proven to be a difficult task owing to the availability of members of parliament and sessional officials due to the parliamentary program. And what also made the matters worse is the current MP refurbishment project. In that, now we have the situation, as the director project has alluded to. With this project, now MPs had to relocate from Laboria Park. When we were dealing with Laboria Park, members had to relocate from Laboria Park to Acacia Park. That also had an impact. The department is in the process of seeking assistance from the office, from the members support forum in communicating with members of parliament on the dates of the annual general meetings for the villages. Thank you, Acting DG. Matters left unresolved by the previous board. Yes, Chairperson, we are looking at the matters which were left unresolved. The previous board, unlike its precursor, managed to meet, I'm sorry, there's a typo error there, to meet its code of meetings. And the meeting met its quorum. Now, this is the board which was in place from 16th September 2020 up to June 2021. However, despite the fact that the board met the four times as stipulated by the Act, it could not resolve two contentious issues, namely the provision of the gym equipment and the provision of the fiber to the villages. The issue of the gym facility emanates from a request which was received from the Quarterly Consultative Forum in 2014, whereby the forum had requested the department to provide the infrastructure for the gym with the view that Parliament would provide the actual equipment. And the department fulfilled its role, but to date, Parliament, Chairperson, is dragging its feet because almost 8 years later, still there's no equipment, there's no gym equipment, whereas the structures are there, which might be viewed somehow as a wasteful expenditure. With regards to the provision of the optic fiber project, now the board, this matter comes as early as 2016. However, the department had always been of the view that it will provide the infrastructure. Now the board in 2021 then directed the department to see to it that there is the provision of fiber, and the IT directorate was engaged, and they went out to investigate, and it was discovered that indeed there is an infrastructure outside the villages. Now, what was needed, Chairperson, was to migrate the infrastructure from outside the villages into the villages, now into the homes. And the department and the directorate IT went out on request for information, and information was received from three service providers, MTN, Vumatel, and Vodacom. And it was clear then, Chairperson, that migrating the getting fiber into the villages was going to be a free service. However, members of parliament and other end users we're going to be charged for operational costs. However, and this was done, a memo was prepared for the then acting DG outlining the project, and which the then acting DG responded to say that project is noted, we could go ahead, but however, we need to follow the normal procurement processes. And that was done. We had a meeting with the regional bid adjudication committee. However, the bid committee then suggested that because of the magnitude of the project, we need to engage or get approval from the National Treasurer. That we did, we wrote to the National Treasurer and gave the background and also stated the fact that the service was going to be free of charge. The National Treasurer wrote back supporting the project. However, what has been very frustrating, Chairperson, is the fact that after everything else was done, we seem to be having a challenge with regards to now with the internal SM processes. In that, Chairperson, everything IT did its part, but now the challenge with SM was the fact that this now was a free service. Now some colleagues had a challenge with regards to the fact that it's free because of the view that it could not be included into the procurement plans. However, in a bilateral meeting that we had with Parliament last week, Monday, it was agreed that the Chief Director Prestige will engage the Chief Director Supply Chain with a view to resuscitate the matter and to see to it, Chairperson, that the project gets underway. Thank you, Tim DJ. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting DG and your team, Mr. Sazona Tembeka Tembela. Honorable members, not sure whether as Honorable Siwisa is still in the meeting. Honorable Siwisa?
Thank you, Chair. I'm driving here, but I'll try
okay.
to put my...
Just move out of the road and then we're giving you the chance. Yes?
We never have 2 minutes. Yeah, just 2 minutes.
Okay, over to you, Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Siwisa?
Yeah, on the highway, Chair.
Oh, okay. So what should we do? Give you maybe 5 minutes and then allow other members?
Give me 5 minutes.
Okay. Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Sikholo, those are the hands that I can see now. Honorable Trink, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Sikholo, Honorable Trink, Honorable Shabalala, and then when Honorable is in the right place, we'll allow her.
I'm fine now, Chair.
Okay, let's give to Honorable members, as Honorable Siwisa indicated that she is driving and is on her way to another meeting. Let's allow her to speak first. Yes, Honorable Siwisa?
Yes, Chair, let me first acknowledge the good report. For the first time, we find a service provider that's actually giving us what we need. It's a positive report. I don't remember the name of the service provider for the maintenance in the village of Sofa. The work is complementary. I don't remember the name of the company. Apologies for not mentioning the name. Chair, I want to understand. They are talking about demolishing. Remember this project of demolishing of houses. It's one of the first things that we were told about when we came in 2019. And for some reason, deviation was done. And now we are given again another plan where the plan speaks about there should be assessments. Now my question is going to be, when they decided to deviate and actually do revamping on houses that did not need the revamping, and leaving some members of parliament to be residing into houses that are hazardous towards our health, what were they thinking? So that today, even now, best thing of saying we are waiting for the assessment to be completed, then we can confirm the date when the construction is going to happen. It's very convenient because by the time they finish whatever, we'll be preparing for elections next year. So what were the reasons for the committee, for the department to deviate from the original plan of demolishment to the plan of actually doing renovations? And then the issue of the board, even if they can speak about the board today, we've never known the board. We've never even seen the board. Today we are being told that the board was dismantled in 2022, but we've never known the board. We've asked so many questions about the board. So when is the new board going to be established, and when can we meet the board that is going to be established? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Higlin.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for the presentation. I'm going to pick up exactly where Honorable Siwisa left off and look at the Parliamentary Villages Board. In 2016-2017, there was an allocation of 9.6 million rand. 2019-2020, another 10.6 million rand. This board has not been functional for many years. What was this money used for? There was in 2019-2020, in quarter two, this money was transferred. What was the money used for if the board has not been meeting and they, you say that they've met to fulfill their quorum of meetings? Who met, where did they meet, and what did they actually accomplish? Because as Honorable Siwisa says, none of us know much about this board that has been absent, sincerely absent, or missing in action. When was the last time that the board actually met? And was the Director General at the time present, as stipulated by the Parliamentary Villages Act? What were the challenges that they faced that ensured that they didn't meet? You can't actually have a board saying that because the members of the committee, as in the parliamentarians, were not available, they were then not going to meet. That doesn't sit very well with me. In terms of the board and in terms of the management contract that TEFLA is supposed to be managing, we have severe safety concerns in the parliamentary villages in terms of cars being vandalized, cars being damaged. One car was actually set on fire. Others have been broken into. Who is dealing with this? We can't actually expect SAPs to be everywhere, but even if we can expect SAPs to be everywhere, somewhere along the line, as members of parliament living in these villages, we have to take some responsibility. We can't just say they are mischievous children. Who do these mischievous children belong to? We have to take responsibility as well, and it seems that very few of us are actually taking responsibility for these issues. The board needs to address the safety and the issue as well. If you recall, it was 2 Decembers ago, we had massive fires on the veld across the way from the B block, where I am staying on B28. We had the fire brigade out here 5 or 6 times. The veld was due to be cleared by Brol at the time. The veld was not cleared. The veld today is still not cleared. That has never, ever been addressed. And outside consultants are being brought in to check the mold problem that we have. These are all problems that should fall within the mandate of the board and or the facilities management contract that has been awarded to TEFLA. I have major issues with TEFLA, as Shanil Tennyson can attest, but I will get to that in a moment. There is a comprehensive list of occupants of all the villages. Is there? We have people who occasionally come round and do a survey, who is living in this house? What are your names? Is there a comprehensive list? It's much like the immovable asset register. Lots of lists are taken, but do we have a list of who the actual people are who are living in this village? Can it be verified that the people living in the parliamentary village are actually supposed to be living here? Because very often you see people wandering around, whether it's during the day or whether it's early evening or whether it's during the night, who really don't look like they have a place in the parliamentary villages. It's really problematic. Domestic work staff who are living in the villages, we were told, and it's in this presentation, were supposed to have vacated the domestic quarters. I'm not advocating that they leave the domestic quarters, but it's written in the parliament, in this presentation that has been presented to us, that they were supposed to have left the parliamentary village, or the quarters had to be evacuated because of the severe overcrowding. What has actually happened with that? And the domestic staff are supposed to be registered for UIF. I believe that none of the domestic staff who are actually working in the park are registered for UIF, which leads me to say that they are going to be shortchanged every time there is a change of people making use of their services and then moving on at the end of a term. That is really quite problematic for me. Let us now move on to the actual refurbishment of the houses and the breaking down of the prefabricated houses in Acacia Park, because that is a major concern. Where are the houses going to be rebuilt in terms of this contract? I have written it down. The contract number, sorry, apologies, I've written it down. WCS 045142, slide number 5, the demolition of 112 prefab houses, especially those under the Eskom servitude. Have you identified a piece of land where these houses are going to be refurbished? What are the cost implications per house? And obviously, you must know this question is coming from me. Has Agrimar SA been consulted or considered for the innovative building techniques and building solutions that they promote and offer and certify in terms of what we can do as the Department of Public Works to showcase our own entity in the refurbishment of the villages? Right. In terms of the contract that was signed with TEFLA, TEFLA is the bane of this parliamentary village life. Allow me to elaborate. A facilities management contract was signed for preventative and comprehensive maintenance on a 24/7, 365 basis. I have never seen preventative maintenance being done, only reactive maintenance. Who sat on the board to evaluate whether TEFLA was the right company to do this job? When you are paying someone 566 million rand over a 5-year period, what kind of criteria do you set to assess that the company you are going to get is the right company for the job? TEFLA is a Johannesburg-based company. The work they have to produce, the people they have to employ or should be employing are in Cape Town. How many people are actually employed from Cape Town? Because I know we've had major work stoppages in Acacia Park. We've had major work protests in Acacia Park because people who are working for TEFLA don't come from Cape Town. They are flown in here or brought down here from Johannesburg. Ms. Tennyson knows exactly what I'm talking about. And there have been serious problems with the contract between TEFLA and its staff, much of which has landed up or is going to land up in the CCMA because of incorrect HR practices. It's an actual HR disaster where contracts were signed at 4,020 rand per day per employer or employee instead of per month. And those contracts are binding. Please let me tell you, those contracts are binding. Turning to the fibre situation, I'm very pleased to hear that you're evaluating it. Many of the members of parliament who are living in the park already have fibre. I know I pay for my own, and we are able to reclaim that part of our allowance from Parliament. So Parliament is already paying for it. So they can't come with the excuse that it's going to be a free service. It's not a free service. They're already reimbursing us for the fibre that we have used if we are using a router. So it's already covered. I don't understand what the reluctance is. So the more pressure we can bring to bear on that, the better. One of the other things that is brought about in this, that is discussed in this presentation, is the height of the wall around the primary school. This has been raised for years. The height of the wall around the primary school has never been looked at, touched, or adjusted. Do we just write reports for the sake of writing reports, or do we write reports to action change? If we write reports to action change, can something please be done about the height of the wall around the primary school? Because it's quite ridiculous. This is the third time we've discussed this. We have no functional parliamentary village board at all. Absolutely nothing. Please let me make that quite clear. I really think that we have to look at the way in which we view these parliamentary villages. A comprehensive study was done in which the mayor of Cape Town has asked for the land upon which the parliamentary villages stands to be given to the city of Cape Town to be used as housing to address the serious housing backlogs in the Cape Metropole. It would be far more appropriate for Parliament to spend money to use subsidies to be given to parliamentary members and for this land to be given to the City of Cape Town to enable the backlog of people living on the streets and people who have no homes to be given homes. I really think that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure needs to look at what the costs are of maintaining these parliamentary villages as opposed to disposing of the parliamentary villages, particularly in the light of the expense that it is to now get these parliamentary villages up to a livable standard when it could be used in far more lucrative ways in terms of managing the properties, addressing the needs of the poorest of the poor in South Africa. I will leave it there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable. Yela?
Yes, Chairperson, it's Honourable Sitlolo. I just wanted to jump onto the bandwagon.
Okay. After Honourable Sitlolo, Honourable Tring, after Honourable Tring, Honourable Shabalala, and I saw the hand of Honourable Njobo.
Chairperson, the colleagues have sufficiently covered me on a number of issues, in particular in as far as TEFLA is concerned, because I had made similar notes in as far as that is concerned, particularly as it relates to their base. Chair, in her budget vote debate, vote two, Parliament, the Speaker of the National Assembly, Me Nosivuya Mapisa Ngakula, indicated that perhaps it is time that GIAMA be amended so that Parliament can actually take over its managing of its assets. My understanding of that, and in conversation with people that have been in the department for a while, is that this would include Parliament itself, as well as the parliamentary villages. Some of the issues that were noted in our background overview of the Parliamentary Villages Management Board and prior oversight visits of select portfolio committees as received, and the research report that we received from our committee colleagues indicate, based on the presentation, that many of the issues between DPWI and Parliament in particular have not been resolved. A simple issue such as my colleague Ms. Hicklin has indicated on the issue of fire had not been resolved. The issue of the gym had not been resolved in terms of who's responsible for what in as far as that is concerned. And perhaps I wanted to put this to the minister, who unfortunately is absent here, and perhaps if the DM is present, perhaps her response to that particular input by the Speaker of the National Assembly. Chairperson, on the 19th of May, I undertook a oversight to Fernhood, the parliamentary sports complex. It has been indicated that it is a parliamentary sports complex. But I must indicate that that is one of the assets of DPWI that have been wholly neglected. The actual two buildings that stand there, the gravel road that you can see that it was a tar road before that has been neglected, and the sporting facilities that have been neglected. The other issue that I want to raise in as far as that property is concerned is that it was indicated that the fencing that was being done could not be concluded because, Chairperson, there was an environmental assessment that was done where the trees were not included when the fencing planning was being done. The question therein then indicates to me that clearly there is a problem in as far as the management thereof is concerned, as well as the awarding of contracts to individuals or companies who do not understand what it is that they need to do in as far as that is concerned. Chairperson, I wanted to indicate also that there was a comment that was made by one of the colleagues that DPWI has been handling most of the work in as far as the parliamentary villages are concerned, this including transport and other issues, which speaks to the point of Honorable Siwisa as well as Honorable Hicklin on the dysfunctional nature and extent of this particular board that is supposed to, in actual fact, be doing quite a number of these issues or handling and a lot of these issues as per the relevant act. Perhaps a question then to the DM and maybe the acting DG, is it not time for us to relook? Because it was mentioned in our notes that perhaps there needs to be a relook at the act, whether it needs to be gotten rid of, whether it needs to be amended. And again, to my previous remark on the amendment to make sure that Parliament then is able to take over its assets. Because it's quite clear that from the presentation that there are quite a number of issues that are still emanating from 2014, 2015, and so on, that have not yet been resolved as per the report from the research unit. I want to reiterate also, Chairperson, the remarks made by my colleague, Honorable Hicklin, in as far as the proposed demolition of the 112 prefabricated housing in terms of how that process will be done. Obviously, emphasizing the point that this has been something that has been mentioned since 2019 and nothing has come of it, and what the reasons thereof are. I believe that my notes are a bit messed up here. Right, but Chair, I think let me leave it at that, but I think my points have come across quite clearly and my colleagues have also sufficiently covered me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sikala. Honorable Trin.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to express my thanks to the public works staff who have taken on more than what their job descriptions indicate in terms of catering for the members of parliament. Those particular staff members have gone out of the way beyond their call of duty to ensure that we within the villages are taken care of as best as they possibly could. So just an acknowledgement to the staff of the department who have gone beyond the call of their duty and beyond their job descriptions to assist the members of parliament. Where they've, from my experience, where they've been unable to assist, they've always come back and say, look, this is now beyond me and I'm not able to. So just an acknowledgement, Chair. Clearly, there are challenges within the parliamentary villages. And at Acacia, when I have the opportunity to go for a little walk or jog, when I came here in 2019, you know, the air was nice and crisp and clean. But unfortunately, I can't say that of recent, because of the sewage smells, particularly around the sports field area. I did speak with one of the public works staff at the office, and when I spoke, I was told that there is a challenge because some of the work in terms of the sewer lines has to be conducted by the City of Cape Town, and they at times drag their feet. But I think clearly, Chair, if one comes past Mopani, past the what used to be the bowling green area, and going towards the sports field, that area there outside of those homes just before the sports field, the sewage spillage is constant. So that provides with the challenges with regards to cholera and the other unhealthy environmental issues on sewage spillage. I think that wherever the problem lies, it has to be sorted. I also noted that if one is on the sports field and then going towards the E19 block from the back, there appears to be a pump of some sorts, but it's almost like a hole that needs to be attended to. And there's also a very strong sewage smell that comes from that particular area. So it's around the sports field that we appeared to have the problem with sewage. The seesawing between Parliament and Public Works with regards to the gym, I think it's indicative of the bureaucratic red tape that many South Africans have to face. You send from one department to the other, the one department blaming the other. And perhaps also indicative of the fact that we actually don't have functioning committees, parliamentary committees and board. But I think clearly what ought to be a simple administrative process becomes years of dragging one's feet. And I think that this also is something that shouldn't just be left, but needs to be attended to. And then lastly, Chair, I just want to echo the sentiments raised by my former colleagues who spoke on the issue of the establishment of the boards. This is the first time that we've heard of a functioning board that has just recently been disbanded. But I think perhaps the solution to the establishment of the committees where there's been poor attendance, that's your parliamentary village committees, where there's been poor attendance, perhaps lies with working closely with the parliamentary programming committee And even if dedicated time, like time that is allocated to committees, dedicated time is given where members of parliament are not having to decide between committee meetings or party meetings or having to catch a flight to get back home urgently because they've been perhaps here in Cape Town for 2 weeks, whatever the case is. So if we have a dedicated time, and if that is possible, I think that's a possible solution to try to sort out the challenge of poor attendance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all colleagues and everybody on the platform. Comrade Chair, Chairperson, I would like to comment, but also make a comment to say I am happy that we have a new minister who might breathe a new into the strategy of the department around this issue, and also shaping it accordingly with the policy as a politician. I hope that if he has time to look around the issues, he may shape things in a new way. Having said that, Chairperson, I think some of the issues have been raised and covered by my colleagues, and I thank them for their contribution on this one. But there are issues that are long-standing. Let me just cite an example. There is an issue that we've always raised. I don't know where it got lost, about the village having to be checked, how it can be used, but at the same time, members get to be able to be owners of the properties around Cape Town. I'm saying this, Chairperson, because I remember that in my township, we fought against 99 yearlies that were that our parents were subjected to. For me, sometimes this looks like it, because you stay in the for 5 years in parliament and you live with nothing. It's even very painful when a member passed on, to see the kids, whether it's the midterm being at school, having to move, really, it breaks one heart. Even if the member has had the kids that were attending the university and so forth, and the member has to break the term of the kids moving around, it's really, it's not humanly moral, if I may put it that way. I have an issue of my the allocated house to me in Acacia. I've raised it since the time, but I've also raised it recently. And I was told that I've been pushed to send to pillar, from pillar to post, around the issue of having just a burglar guard on the side of the other door, because this house is facing the open field, and on the door that is facing the open field, that door doesn't have you can't even open it just to have a fresh air and have to sit in the sitting room, because there are people also, because it's linked to the storage that is linked to this house, is occupied by some people that I really don't even know what they are doing, but it seems that they are doing something, and us as neighboring houses, we don't use it. So there's something strange there that is happening. I've even raised it with the official, and I was told that I need to write a letter to Ms. Buroto. Sometimes I need to write it to the board that I've never met. So that's one of the issues. I also concur with the honourable member who raised. I noted also myself the issue of Agrima SA, because this climate change has given us the new experience around Krugersdorp, but also there's windstorm in Cape Town, as our colleague in the committee has also told us. I think the construction of the houses needs to mitigate around what is happening in Cape Town. If, for instance, we have earthquakes, what kind of materials do you need to make? How do you divide the house, for instance? Does it have to have all the blocks that will fall onto someone's head? All those things, we need to have the grasp of things around that. Is there any process towards the new board, anything that has, or even the advert that has been prepared by the department? And then my question was also around the EPWP certification. Are all the EPWPs that are going to be trained going to have the certificates? And also, what is the geographical a spread in terms of the provinces? Would I meet someone in my province, in my constituency that is involved in there? You don't even have a list, because we are talking about people. They must have a face and also a name and a surname. And also to say to us, this is the EPWPs that are going to be involved. Even linked to that is the companies that are doing this huge project. For me, I'm not sure whether this advances the economic redistribution, because for one company to have a 60 months term of completion, why not give to several companies? Even it couldn't be only Joburg that is gonna come with their workforce, but even to other provinces too. It would make us to say there is economy that is going to such and such a province. But I'm also not sure about the process. How does it happen around the economic redistribution in terms of the subcontracting and so forth? Does the people of Cape Town subcontract? If so, how many of them? So that at least the rent and cent is what we need to be interested in, because we about creating jobs, but also the economy of this country. I don't know, Chairperson. I'm aware that the term of the board is 1 year, but we started in Parliament several years ago, and we've never heard about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Shabalala. Honourable Njoba.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning to the members and the department and the staff from the Office of the Minister and the DM, and welcome the report. Acting DG, the house allocated to me.
Okay. Sorry, Honorable Njoba. Honorable Shabalala, can you mute your mic, please?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm saying in Acacia Park, 18 DG. My house number is E1. It's been 2 months. I can't use the toilet. and I phoned the Acacia Park offices. They tried to solve the matter, but the plumbers confirmed that they can't fix this thing. I even called the minister, but still, I don't have the, no one helped in terms of how do they fix this matter, because what they did, they gave me the house number E85. That house is already blocked. Then they also gave me the, now I'm using a Mubane flat. So, but on your challenges, the issue of the sewage in Acacia Park, it's not on your list, of which it's not only this E1. For example, Honorable Mashele, from last year, this issue of sewage in Acacia Park. Another thing I can't remember on which slide you said the intercom is working, of which it's not working. And the issue of alarm system is not working. I don't think the issue of parks, the department is taking serious, because it's not the first time we are raising this issue of the challenges we have in our parks. For example, the issue of how asbestos, there are members of parliament who stays in those asbestos. Lastly, on your employment page, I want to know how many youth and female you employed. You just say you employed 206. If you can be specific that how many females and youth. And your Tesla group will be here for 60 months, of which by look of things, the Tesla group, it's not performing very well. Then the 60 months for me is too much. If they can't fix that, a toilet, and you can't stay in a house where you can't use toilet. It's very painful. Thank you, Shepherd.
Thank you, Honorable Mjobo. The minister has joined the meeting. Welcome, minister, in the meeting. Honorable Van Schalkwyk, I think you're the last one. And then I will come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to Honorable Chairperson, members, the minister and the team, as well as our support staff. Chairperson, I am not going to raise the issues that has already been raised, although I share the same sentiments with regards to the different issues. Mine would be just simple, Chair. I need to reiterate the same challenge that we've been continuously raising since 2020, the issue of the prefab housing. And now we receive the report of the project that will be started and will be reviewed on the 14th of June 2023 with the NBAC, which is today, Chairperson, but with regards to the details of the project, I can't find any starting date or envisaged finishing date, which makes it an open-ended statement, which might or might not be a realization at the end. But Chairperson, my biggest concern with regards to this prefix is the fact that a whole chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is disadvantaged by this issue, and no alternative measures are being put in place since we keep on hammering on this issue since 2020. There's people who leave Parliament, new people join, they are being assigned to houses, but never have it occurred that the chairperson of this portfolio committee is given the option to move to a more suitable house. And that is a big disgrace, Chairperson. I need to raise my...
Thank you, Honorable Van Schalkwyk. Let me also appreciate and welcome the report as presented to us. But I'm very skeptical and in believing the report, Minister, because many of the issues that are raised in the report, they don't talk on what is actually happening on the ground level. Let me start with the issue of the demolition of the prefabs. When we raised this issue as this portfolio committee, we were not saying it because maybe we don't want to stay in prefabs, but we were raising a health issue. I don't know whether, Minister, you have been to the villages in Acacia. The roofs are made of asbestos. I think we all know the case of asbestos and South Africa agreeing that you can't have someone staying in a house that has asbestos roof. That is happening. This parliament one day will be claimed by someone. We have raised this. We received a report in March 2020. It was presented by Mr. Sazona Tembeka Tembela, then DG. We even had subs. We were sitting in good hope. That portfolio committee was held in good hope. They reported to us that there is a project that is going to start in April dealing with these houses that has prefabs. We were all surprised when we saw that no, the project is not dealing with the prefabs. It's dealing with the brick houses. Okay, we accepted that. We are told today the reason that they didn't start with the prefabs is because they are many units. And if you look at the project that is currently being done, it's 246 units, 121 in Acacia, 56 in Laboria, 69 in Pelican, 246 units. Houses that were going to be demolished and done that, 112 units. And I don't understand, maybe I don't understand the numbers. When you say that that one is because there are many units, this one, 246 as compared to 112. Okay. We accepted that, and then we are given today something that is very not clear, because even today there is no clear time frame from what we have seen, because you have all to be TBC, TBC, TBC. I am not supporting my colleague on this one that says that take this and give it to the city of Cape Town for whatever reasons and all that. I think still, if the parliament is still in Cape Town, you still need these villages. And as such, what is needed is the refurbishment and a maintenance team or contractor that is doing its work diligently. I am with Honorable Hicklin on this one, that this contractor that is doing maintenance is failing, really, to me. It is failing. You can't have people that over 2 years, they can't use their houses, they cannot wash in their houses, they cannot use the toilets in their houses, they need to go to other houses, like over 2 years. Honorable Mashele started this in 2021. It's 2023 now. When he has to wash, he has to go to another house. And ever since this contractor came in, those things are not sorted. It's worth this issue of the pipes, the toilets being blocked and all that, and a contractor saying that it can do nothing. We've been staying in houses that were much, 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 much worse. A contractor previously was coming in to do work, but that thing stopped. So I don't understand that a contractor would say that it cannot do this when it is employed to do exactly that. On this issue of the board, it's very interesting. We are told today that the board has met. When we have requested to know when is the board meeting, but today we are told that the board has met. And as such, and previously, Auditor General picked this up, that you are budgeting for this board, but this board is not meeting, which means that there is something between Auditor General and the report that is being given to us by the department. We are told again, the parliamentary residential committees are supposed to be annual. When it was presented to us, when we were about to elect each village, elect its representative, that you are going to serve here till 2024. We are told today that it is annual. We are also informed that members are not available. How far is that true when we have never had a functional board from day one? How far is that true? I am not convinced that it is true. The issue, these issues that you're raising here, Minister and the department, we're raising them so that they can be done. Even those that will be coming in the next term, at least they are resolved. I am happy with this issue because we raised this issue of fiber, that the city of Cape Town has a fiber connection. And as such, even here in Acacia, there is a school which Department of Education has provided Wi-Fi. So we even when we were in the oversight visit, explained how can this be done. Talk to the city of Cape Town because it provides it up to the gate and then inside, and charge members who are going to be using that fiber because the cables are already there. And that since we said that and we are told everything has been done, National Treasury has been consulted, Parliament has been consulted, Supply Chain Minister in your department is sitting on this. We have a challenge of network, which has been made worse by the issue of load shedding. Even before load shedding, we had a challenge of network. And the reality is that as time goes on and we are in this fourth industrial revolution, the issue of virtual meetings is something that we're going to live with. So having then a connection in these, an internet that is functional in these villages, I think it would be best even for the generations to come. On that note, Minister, and your team, I then hand over to you.
Chair, may I have a quick second bite?
Okay, before they respond.
Yes, please.
Okay, over to you.
Thank you so much, Chair. I want to just emphasize exactly what you were saying, Chair. I had an issue in B28 of a toilet or a drain that was overflowing. The plumbers had to come 5 times, and each time I had a different excuse as to why they couldn't clear the pipe. It was on the last time that they actually brought a tool that dug the roots out of the pipe for exactly the same problem, and it was 5 times in the space of 2 weeks. So I am saying to you that Tefla is defective in its ability to appoint SMMEs who are appropriately trained. I also want to just alert you, because I've written it in the chat, that part of Tefla's scope of work is the manning and maintenance or connectivity of the security systems. Now, in previous presentations that we have had, we've been told that A, the reason members cannot communicate with the SAPs at the gate is that, firstly, we were told that there was no cell towers that enabled communication between the houses to the SAPs office. Then we were told that SAPS had run up such an enormous telephone bill that the telephone lines had been discontinued. So I don't know which of the two stories is true. But we also have perimeter sensors all the way around the whole village, which we have been told are not connected to any police station, because the police stations are too far away. But we are now told that Tefla has to ensure that we have panic button access, A, for medical emergencies, and B, for physical emergencies, to connect us to the SAPS office. So here we have a whole range of security issues that are built into the Tefla contract that are physically not possible, A, because we don't have fiber, and B, because there is no connectivity between the houses and the SAPS office. And so we have frivolous and wasteful expenditure that now goes back years, but is now being brought into this new Tefla contract. I am asking again whether a proper study was done in the evaluation of Tefla as a service provider and in the needs. Again, it goes back to the UMCAMP story in terms of Guyana. What are the needs of the user, being the parliamentary village inhabitants, us members of parliament, support staff and the like? What are our needs in terms of being able to access the gate, in terms of being able to access emergency care should we need it, and the Department of Public Works meeting those needs? Because in terms of what we are able to access right now, if my cell phone is dead and I have an emergency, I cannot get help from SAPS. There is no emergency panic button, and there is no way in which I can alert SAPS that I am being attacked or am in trouble. I just need to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Just an emphasis on this issue that they're going to refurbish or demolish prefabs and bring in brick houses. I think we've said this several times, that this department has entities that are working so well, but it is not supporting them. I think the innovative technology that is shown by Agrima, I think that's another thing that you can look at. And we even said, for those Agrima certified houses, you take just 2 weeks. I think you would finish this within like a month in the entire 113 if you use those innovative technologies of building houses with certified Agrima. Thank you. Over to you, Minister, and the team acting.
Chairperson, I see the minister is trying to connect.
You may start acting DG, then the minister maybe will round up. Thank you.
At the end. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members and chairperson for the comments and questions.
Responding, I will come later. Thank you.
Noted, minister. Thank you. Mr. Sazana, if I can ask you to lead on the responses. Chairperson, apologies, I kept losing connectivity when the questions were being fielded, so I missed quite a bit. But I'll ask Mr. Sazana to lead the team in the responding of the question. Mzwai?
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I just want to open my. I will be assisted by my colleagues to respond to some of the questions, but I'll try to lead on Honorable Siwisa in terms of the Parliamentary Villages Board that is not sitting and what has the money been used for. We should have indicated as well that the monies, this question is linked to the question that was asked as well by Honorable Hickling on the amount of monies that we provided to the board over a period of years, and what has that money been used for? The money has been used, obviously not all of that money, but part of that money has been used for the bus service. As Tembela has indicated, that the purpose of the board was to manage the bus service of the members and that of the learners. And the money that has been appropriated was for that particular purpose. I want to have the correct figures, but we can provide that in writing, that the board currently is sitting with a surplus of about 40 million, if my memory serves me fine, if not 41 million. But I know that we just made a payment for the bus service that has been provided. So every year, at times, National Treasury will give us about 9 million, but we'll use about 5 or 6 million. So the surplus that has not been used is on the account of the board. On the changes on the demolition project, I must indicate, Honorable Chair, Acting DG and the Minister, that the only change on this was for us to fast-track this project as it has delayed. The change, naturally, the department, or a default project management of the department, is a two-phase process, where we first appoint the consultants, and after appointing of the consultants, they do the work in terms of the planning and design. And after that, we then appoint the service provider. Now, that will take us about 2 or 3 years for us to complete this project if we follow that process. We then change, and we said so, I think, in previous meetings as well, that we'll be doing a turnkey, as Tembega has mentioned, where we appoint an implementing agent who will then they will do their own assessment. After doing that assessment, they will then see which consultants they are looking for and which contractor are they looking for. So this will be managed by them. And that is really to fast track this project and making sure that, because we know the urgency of this prefabricated, my apology again with my voice, I'm not feeling well, Chairperson, but I'll try to be dealing with this. On the issues raised by Honorable Heckling, on the occupancy list of the residences. That report has now been completed. We were requested by the portfolio committee to do that. It took us a little bit of time, but we have completed it. I think the last time I said that we were just doing the narrative of that report, because just giving numbers won't be making sense. So we have completed that, and the report will be made available as well. I would request Chanel to just respond on the issues of the domestic quotas that has been asked there. On the issue of the land identified for the demolition project, there is a plan that was identified at the time when we constructed this project. However, we will be giving the implementing agent an opportunity as well to look at those plans and see the feasibility of building these houses. Some of these houses will be built on the same houses that will be demolishing, and some, because some are under the servitude, the ESCOM servitude, which we can't build under that Telkom ESCOM servitude, then we have identified some other pieces of land within Acacia Park where we'll be building these houses. On the involvement of Agrima SA, we have had a discussion with CPM, Tembeka in particular, where this matter has been raised, and that's going to be one of the instructions that will be given to the implementing agent, that they have to look at the alternative building materials. I will give it to Tembeka to respond on the issue of Tefla doing reactive maintenance and also the process of the appointment of Tefla, which committees were involved. I can just in brief say the generally all procurements that are above 60 million, they have to be adjudicated by the National Bid Adjudication Committee. But the specification committee and the evaluation committee happens in the region. So that has happened in Cape Town. It's only the adjudication level that has to happen at the national level. There was a condition assessment that was done, which was done by BRAWL, which we used that condition assessment to develop the new terms of reference for the incoming service provider. So there was work done. It's not that Tefla was just appointed without going through a process. Also, coupled with that, from BRAWL, we then appointed a consultant, which also did their own condition assessment that assisted them to develop the terms of reference. So those terms of reference were is a process that was followed by the department. Tefla was not just appointed. On the fiber, I need to just explain to Honorable Hecklinde that when Tembela mentioned the issue of the free fiber, it's about taking the fiber from the street to the house. One or two of those companies were prepared to do that free of charge. However, Parliament is still going to subsidize members as they are subsidizing now for connectivity and the usage of that fiber. On the wall of the school, we will look at the matter. I must be quite honest there, this issue has not really come to my attention, but we'll look at that wall and see what is it that we can do about it. On the issue of providing of subsidy, instead of having the parliamentary villages and give it to the city of Cape Town, this matter was raised, to remind members, this matter was raised by the committee to Minister Delille. And Minister Delille advised the committee, including the Chief Whip's Forum, that matter is not a public works issue. It is a matter of, because it forms part as a benefit to members if you have to provide a particular subsidy. And that forms part of the work of the Independent Remuneration Committee of Office Bearers, if I'm getting the name correct. And I know that there was a letter that was written, I think through the speaker, to that committee, and they requested certain information from Public Works. So that is work that is happening by that committee for remuneration of office bearers. That is not really something that can be entertained by Department of Public Works. If that committee decides to provide subsidies, Public Works will comply with that. On the matter raised by Honorable Sesone on the amendment of Giyama, Minister, I've met with the Parliament on the same matter, where Parliament has requested that we look at custodianship. And Minister have made it very clear that at this stage, the legal opinion that was received within the department doesn't allow the Minister to provide that custodianship to Parliament because Guyama doesn't allow it. However, Minister has, through the state attorney, the matter is now with the state attorney to get further legal opinion on this issue. I will request Tembeka to also look on the issues of the fenwood and the fencing and the environmental issues assessment that was done. I'm not quite aware of that. I know that there was a fence that that was fixed by Tefla. However, after that fence was fixed, there was a tree that fell because of the heavy rain. But Tembeka would provide probably a clear issue, a clear position on this matter. On the relook of the acts, I think there has been a consensus generally, and I personally I would agree that we probably have to look at the act, whether it's an appropriate vehicle for us to have, or the act has to be totally changed to increase the term of the, but it's something that the department can look at and advise the committee on what. This matter has been raised in other committees, in other portfolio committees, even in the past. And some work has taken place. In fact, the board at the time also requested that this issue be looked at. And there was a legal opinion that was received from the state attorney. We can look at this issue and see how best can we deal with it. I think I've dealt with the issue of the demolition and the building, that the change that that only came here was the approach that we're taking in trying to fast track the project. On Honorable Thing, I will leave an Honorable Mjobo on the issue of the stink today and the sewage system. I will leave it to Tembeka to update the committee on the work that we have done for the past few weeks and what is going to be happening going forward. On Honorable Thing, again, on the issue of the gym, I think we need again to remind the committee the decision that was taken after the walkabout that happened in, I think, 2 years ago in with Parliament. That decision was taken that Parliament is going to go out on tender. And members, I still remember, even said that they don't mind paying for this service and Parliament must lead on that. And Parliament was going to go out to get service provider that can provide that service, but making sure. And Public Works made a commitment that the water and electricity and the occupation of the property will be free for the owner in order to alleviate the fees that members can pay. I think Parliament can come handy to give us progress report on this one where we are. Let me also welcome the suggestion by Honorable Tring that maybe there needs to be a discussion with a programming committee where members can be made available to hold those, because without the committee, the village committees, it will be difficult to appoint the board. So it starts there. If members are given an opportunity and time to attend those committee members, those committee meetings, it will deal again this issue of the committee meetings on issues raised by Honorable Heckling on the whose role is it to deal with crime and social issues within the parks. These committees were precisely set up in order to deal with those matters and together with the police and Public Works. But it is very difficult for Public Works alone to be dealing with those crime activities that are happening in the parks. So I will really applaud I supported the suggestion that maybe the programming committee must be approached and make members available to deal with some of these issues. I again, on the issue raised by Honorable Mjobo on the intercom and alarm system, I will ask Tembeka to respond on that one as well, together with the issue of the sewage system, and Tembeka also to provide the breakdown of males and females on the socioeconomic impact that we raised. On the issues raised by Honorable Shabalala, that we probably relooked on the occupation of the, I've already responded on that and saying this matter is sitting with the Independent Remuneration Committee for office bearers. On the issues of the Bagla Bar, I will speak to Shenil after this meeting and I will provide personally a response to Honorable Shabalala. This matter has not really come to my attention, but we will look at it, assess the risk, and if there is any requirement to put a Bagla Bar, and also to investigate who stays in this unit, which is closer to where she stays. Chair, I think I've dealt with all of the issues that colleagues can come in if there are any other issues that I haven't touched on. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Savona. Chair, I will deal with all the items that Mr. Savona has left behind. On the issue of the dates for the prefab houses, that planning instruction, once all the departmental processes were concluded, that planning instruction was issued to the regional office on the 20th of October 2021. We then presented the project to the committee in 2022, and we attempted to go out on tender on the design and build solutions. However, part of the delay was that the design and build contracting documents are not yet readily available in the department, hence the decision to assign this project to the implementing agent. After today, we will conclude in terms of the project execution plan. If the members were to remember, when we presented the project, we presented a construction period of 42 months. Hence, we have put to be confirmed in terms of the presentation, because the 42 months would be too long. And as the members have indicated, we will try to look at the alternative building solutions together with the implementing agent, and we will come up with a proper project execution plans with the timelines in terms of when the construction will start and when the construction will be concluded. Then in terms of the sewage system, Honorable Chair, we've been, and Minister and Acting DG, we've been battling with the City of Cape Town. I think the explanation that we can, I'm going to try and paint a picture of where the sewage system is located. The blockage is not coming from Acacia Park. The blockage is coming from the manholes that are located outside Acacia Park. And because the street burghers that are sitting underneath those manholes, they tend to put items, sand, stones, clothes, all sorts of foreign objects inside the pipeline, which prevents the sewer then from flowing from that from Acacia Park to the pump house. The pump house is located outside the Wingfield military base. We've been in discussions almost half of the year last year with the City of Cape Town, because our view was that that line belongs to the City of Cape Town. However, the City of Cape Town has only confirmed yesterday in writing that that line does not belong to them. It belongs to the department. The engineers that we have appointed for the FM contractor have now come up with three solutions that we will employ, including working on the line that we had been battling with the City of Cape Town. So we'll relocate the line. We have been pumping this sewer every second day for the last number of years. However, ever since we started with these engineers, they have provided a report. We have looked at the solution. We even have pictures, Honorable Chair, of the objects that we are finding in these manholes. So there is a plan of action that will be implemented. And according to our engineers, they will submit their drawings to the City of Cape Town by tomorrow, and the work will commence, or an instruction will be issued then to TEFLA for them to commence with the work. And we really profusely apologize for the inconvenience in this area. However, we have been battling a lot with the City of Cape Town in terms of providing a solution for this line. Then in terms of the mold problem that was raised by Honorable Hickling, there were several options that were environmentally friendly that we were looking at. And eventually the consultants have consulted the environmentalists in order for us, because we're not allowed to kill animals, and the moles that are in the parks are now being taken care of. There is a report, and the consultants have issued the relevant instruction for the FM service provider to handle the issue of the moles. Then in terms of, I think Mr. Sazana has dealt with the issue of Agrima SA. We will consult with them with the implementing agents as indicated. Then in terms of the contracts that were signed with Tesla, when this project, maybe I must take the meeting back to after we had received the BDO report and the deficiencies that were identified in the report. During the planning stages of the project, we had to change the model that we had used with Brawl to the hybrid model that I explained on the presentation. And then we have, together with Parliament, worked on the scope of work. We worked on the terms of reference, and we agreed on how we will contract with the next service provider. We then went out on an open tender process. We received about 19 bids from various service providers countrywide, because in terms of the regulations, we cannot just appoint a Cape Town-based company, but we needed to make the process open, fair, and transparent. And the service providers that tendered were about 19. The adjudication process, Tesla was the highest scoring bidder. The prices were ranging from 200 million to 990 million. We then did conducted a risk assessment together with the consultants that we have appointed on the project. They highlighted the minor risks or risks that were on the risk assessment, and we submitted then the bid to the National Bid Adjudication Committee, which was then approved. And that's how Tesla was appointed on this on the project. Then in terms of the criteria that were set, we can share how the strategies was formulated, because our terms of reference, including our functionality, was quite high for the type of project because of the value and the magnitude of the work. Now, in terms of the number of people that are employed, we have received a parliamentary question to which we had submitted responses to. But just to confirm those numbers again, Tesla has appointed about 185 general workers. Of the 185, 134 are located in Cape Town, and Tesla brought in 51 general workers and 21 core staff members to Cape Town. This is the report that we had submitted with the parliamentary question in terms of the allocation of the employees by Tesla. Then in terms of the height of the wall, currently the Western Cape Department of Education has a project that is ongoing at the school. We have not had sight in terms of the scope of work of what will be done in that project, but we can, together with Prestige, try to make contact with the project manager for the project so that we can understand if the wall is included in there. If it's not, then we will have to come up with a plan in terms of elevating that wall around the school. Then in terms of the Fernwood, Mr. Sazona is correct in terms of the fence that was repaired. I think that fence is a fence that's dividing Fernwood and the park in there. But with the heavy rains, one of the trees fell over to the fence that was recently repaired. And we are now just working with the consultants in terms of the repairs that needs to be conducted. At this moment, I'm not aware of the environmental report that was generated, because that has not been brought to the attention of the department. In terms of the condition of Fernwood, I think there's still discussions internally with the department of the future of Fernwood on what would be done in that facility. So So with the facilities management contract, we had scoped specific items just to keep the facility functional, because we were just worried that we do not want to spend a lot of money that would then come back as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Once the discussions have been concluded as to what the future of that facility would be, then the proper scoping exercise and the well repair work that needs to be done will then be implemented in the facility. I've already addressed the issue of the sewer in Acacia Park. Then there was a question around the Butler Gate on A49. I think Mr. Sazon has already dealt with that. The certification question from Honorable Shabalala. All our EPWP and NYS learners, participants, they do receive certificates on their exit of the program. And then I think I presented that on the MP houses, 15 of them have been taken through to the TVET colleges to further their studies in the areas that they had interest in. So with the exit program from EPWP, these learners are certified, and those that qualify or that are interested in pursuing further studies, they are then supported by the EPWP units in order for them to achieve their respective goals. Then I think the issue, Honorable Njobo, the issue of House 1, E1 in Acacia Park, we have, I've already spoken to the issue of the sewer, but we will just provide the report through Prestige in terms of the timelines of when that sewer issue will be rectified. Then in terms of the intercoms, I had presented, and I apologize because I should have elaborated a little bit on the presentation. With the renovations project for the 245 units, all the intercom systems in those units have been repaired. When the intercom systems and the alarm systems were installed, there was an issue with the sealing of the fiber around the area, and it resulted to a lot of damages to the units. But when we're doing the renovations, we then contracted the contractor to repair those intercom systems, and we have not received complaints in terms of the units where the intercom systems and the alarms have been fixed. The idea was to connect those to the gate so that when there is an issue in the unit, the members will call directly to the gate where SAPS is located and the matters would be attended to. Similarly, with the issue of the cameras, as SAPS is doing the assessments, they identify areas in the parks where they want us to either add cameras or make adjustments to the system. And with the previous contractor, some cameras were installed, but they were not connected to the gate. We had a meeting with the consultants 2 weeks ago and even yesterday, and they confirmed that all the cameras are functional. We are working on the fiber and the connection of those cameras to the gate of SAPS, because when the installation was done, it was not connected to the gate of SAPS. In, I think, one of the estates, we are also including a ring main of the fiber, and we're trying to create some safe space with regards to the fiber, because there's been a lot of stealing and tampering with the fiber installations around Goodwood and some of the park areas. So the cameras are being attended to. I think the security subcontractor, which is PDIT, is on site dealing with the connection of those cameras. But all the cameras, all the intercom alarm systems for the 245 units are functional. The units that were not part of the project, we have then issued an instruction to Tefla to repair those intercoms and alarm systems in those units in order for them to also be connected to the gate for SAPS to be able to be contacted in cases of emergencies as indicated. Then in terms of the numbers from Honorable Jobo, And unfortunately, my colleagues have not managed to send me this report as I'm presenting, but we will just forward the report to Prestige so that the breakdown of the employment numbers in terms of youth, women and male, that will be supplied. Then in terms of the data again from Honorable Sharon, we will provide, I think immediately when we get feedback from the NBAC today of the approval, we will have a kickoff meeting with the implementing agents and we will compile a project execution plan to indicate how exactly this project will be aligned, including the timelines of construction. Then in terms of the number of the, I think Mr. Sosana has touched on the issue of the how these houses will be built, the 113 houses. There's two options. There's an option to rebuild these units where they are located currently, or there's an option to build according to the master plan that was done for Acacia Park. There's a lot of space in Acacia Park, and we are using that master plan to allocate some of the space in Acacia Park for the units, specifically those ones that are under the Eskom servitude. They will be rebuilt under the space that was identified in the master plan. That discussion and that detail will follow when it comes to the project execution plan that will be compiled by the implementing agent. Then I think I've dealt with all the items that are pertaining to the technical issues. The issue of the maintenance on the villages, we have bi-weekly meetings with Tesla and the full consulting team. Yesterday we had a meeting with the full consulting team in order to look at some of the challenges that they have picked up when it comes to the implementation with Tesla. And in terms of the performance itself, there's quite a few areas that were identified. But for the planned preventative maintenance, their performance is still sitting at 90-95%. The area that we need to strengthen is the area of corrective maintenance, which is the projects that we have been presenting in this meeting. I think when it comes to some of the items that have been raised in the meeting, we will take those items, Chairperson, and bring them back to the attention of the team and address the specific houses that have been raised in the meeting. Thank you very much, Chair and Acting DG and Minister. Thank you. Chanel?
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, Acting DG, Members of Parliament and colleagues. Just on with regards to A49, Honourable Chabalala's burglar gate issue, I'm informed that the consultant team has been out to the members' house to do an assessment, and they've indicated that they will issue a work instruction to Tesla to install that burglar gate. The only thing is they won't be able to do it on the outside, but on the inside as a result of the space that is available. So that obviously will be attended to. And then with regards to the outside room or the storage area that Honorable Chabalala referred to, I'm also informed there that this is a shared storage area at the moment. It's been used by the tenant of A47. But apparently that area is used, could be used by between A46 and A49, but currently it is being used by A47's tenant. And then just lastly, with regards to Honorable Hicklin's domestic quarters question, I can only report on Acacia Park. Acacia Park has got no domestics residing in the domestic quarters. We've boarded up that areas, and for that exact reason that Honorable Hicklin spoke to, the condition of those domestic quarters, overcrowding, etc. Maybe Thembela can just give us insight on the Pelican and Laboria Park domestic quarters. Thank you.
Through you, Chairperson. In Laboria Park, there's only one domestic who's staying in the domestic quarter. And the state of the domestic quarters is still in a good state. And then there are four people who are staying in domestic workers who are staying in Pelican Park. There are some challenges. We had issued them with the eviction notices. It's a matter that I must just follow up with security in ensuring that Pelican Park is also, the domestic quarters are also boarded off. Secondly, Chairperson, if you allow me, there's a question which was raised by Honorable Hickling with regards to when was the last board meeting and who chaired it. The last board meeting was on the 7th of June. 2021, and it was chaired by the then acting DG, Mr. Fraser. And some of the challenges, because she also asked some of what were the challenges. I would say, Chairperson, the major challenge of the board was non-attendance of meetings by board members, such that at some point, because we used to have board meetings on Fridays, it was agreed then that we need to change. They were moved to Wednesdays because then it was we were advised that on Wednesday plenary starts at 3. So we adopted that, but we still had challenges because some members, for instance, they would confirm attendance when notices are sent out. However, come the day of the meetings, due to other commitments, then they would then send apologies. But non-attendance was the biggest challenge by board members. And through you, Chair, lastly, there was a question which was raised, interestingly, which was raised by Honorable Tshabalala, whether has there been any advert with regards to the new board? The answer is no, ma'am, because when board is, like it has been reported, when the board is established, it's through the residence committees. So we do not send out any information to the media because the board members are mostly members of parliament. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Over to you. I see Honorable Hicklin has raised a hand again.
Thank you,
Minister. No, Chair.
Oh, Minister?
No, I don't know whether this will help us to have a further engagement here. Now, I would like to come in and make some contributions, and the committee can discuss further. I will take the direction from the Chair. Firstly, there are a few things that I think are just issues of process that needs to be clarified. With regard to properties, as Honorable Frank Hicklin suggested, if there are properties that are no longer of use by the department, yes, we can engage with municipalities to then transfer those properties to the municipalities, but it is better that happens after we've satisfied ourselves that we cannot use those properties. And C, because we're trying to adapt, I will agree with her that some properties have been a cost to the department. But we're trying to look on whether we cannot change that and ensure that all properties are well maintained, those that are not utilized be turned to generate income. But I'm not totally opposed to engaging if there are municipalities who suggest cooperation or transfer of properties in one way or the other, but we must firstly be assessing that we cannot use that property in future. Second issue, I do sympathize with the point raised by you, Honorable Chair, that at some point we grew up in an environment where you will rent a house permanently. But I think that's a separate issue that may need a different discussion, because the allocation of houses for now is based on a policy that says you are allocated a house as long as you are a member of parliament. It's not a residential place. It is that you are here for work purposes, and therefore you should have a house where you stay. Unless a policy is reviewed, I don't think that will be possible to alter that. Pertinent issues. I think on pertinent issues, firstly, I would like to agree with members that there is no system of management that is in place and effective. Even what we are saying is in place, the board last month in 2021, and I think we must take up that mess. So I would want us to commit that we will try to work on establishing a proper system that will work. If it's a problem of a board and members are unable to attend, I think if that is failing, the executive authority must be informed, and the executive authority must engage even with the whip through the Office of Parliament. And that has not been forthcoming, and it's embarrassing that we as the department should have been the one who advocates for effective stakeholder management, because we are providing the service to Parliament. And I think we will have to take it up, the issue of the system. And I'll come to it. Maybe let me move on to a second issue. I think the state of the parliamentary villages needs serious attention. I have also stayed in Acacia Park, and the observations raised here are correct. I've been part of the meeting from 20 past 9, and most of the issues raised about Acacia Park are issues that I've experienced, and even the level of safety, level of cleanliness do need to be taken up. And I do agree that there is a need for the department to conduct a performance assessment of the contractor who is there, and maybe an independent one, which will not be influenced by the fact that the contractor was appointed by the department. I think there is need for that. Irrespective of who, if a company is giving work, the company must perform. If it does not, it must then be terminated. I would then take that approach. My third point is maintenance. We are of a view, which was discussed with the top management, that we should move maintenance from Prestige to FM, facility management. And then Prestige deals with allocation and all of that, but maintenance should then go to the other branch. And we are conceiving that view from a point that says, let us establish our in-house maintenance capacity, where we will have workshops, where we have more departments or clients that we are facing. And we took that decision. The year colleagues talking about contracts and all of that, I wouldn't expect that there is such, because we have taken a decision in as far as maintenance is concerned. And also, as my parting shot, I would want to concur with you, Chair, and members, that there is this lack of responsiveness from the department and from key managers. And that, for me, is always derived from lack of consequence management. And we are going to effect that. This laissez-faire approach of things that are raised and not attended for time, I think we will strive to do all our best that it addressed in the department. Now, having said that, I think it will be better at some point to have a physical meeting where we will go to these issues. Maybe before that, I must also concur with members. Any request that comes, we take it and refer it to Prestige for them to attend to it. And issues that the issues raised by Honorable Njobo, it's correct. I also refer it to Mr. Sazona and all of that weeks ago. And even that the answer that is coming, that I know it's a problem of whether the system is owned by the municipality or us, that should have been identified long time ago. And it's part of lack of responsiveness and the lack of consequence management, which as a department we must act decisively. And I think if we are not decisive in that, we will continue to have decisions taken and decisions not implemented. And I have always tried to appeal to the management not to use that approach. I'm free to say this because I did warn the management that I have reached a point where we will go to any authority when we account and we contradict each other. Because we are not going to be co-opted into things that are not taking the department forward. And I think we need to assess the performance of this company, Tesla. We need to put in place systems. We need to put in place systems where if members have complaints, they will log in and then the system will assist us to attend to those issues with speed. Now, with regard to this, I would request that maybe we be given an opportunity to meet either with members of the committee physically and go to these villages and have a discussion. But all of these issues that you have raised here, we will try to push that they get an attention of the department from now onward and be attended with speed. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Minister and your team. Let me say upfront, Minister, I think your responses, they are really, really promising. I think it is for the first time, members, that we are getting such responses that are very clear when it comes to the issues of the parliamentary villages. And we're happy that you, at least you saw the situation in Acacia Park. You know, it's not good, Minister. I see that Honorable Hicklin's hand is up for a follow-up question. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, it is. It's addressed to Tembeka. Tembeka, you were speaking about the fact that the cameras are working and that they are addressing the issue of communication with the gate. You're clearly not talking about Acacia Park. I haven't seen cameras in Acacia Park. I've lived here since 2019. I have not seen any cameras, and I can give you a concrete assurance that there is no means of communication between my house and the SAPS office, other than if I pick up my mobile phone and I call them myself on my mobile phone. There are no intercoms that work. There are no intercoms that have been checked or connected. So could I ask you please to elaborate exactly where you are, where you were referring to A, cameras. I'm sure that there were cameras I saw in the presentation at Pelican Park. And while I accept that cameras may be operational in Pelican Park, that is the smallest of the three villages. When you talk about cameras being operational in the parliamentary villages, please can you specify in future, and the alarm systems. The alarm systems are absolutely not functional at all, no matter where you are. So please, can I ask you just to elaborate where you were talking about cameras being operational and intercoms being operational between one point and another. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. I don't know whether are there any other members that want to have follow-up questions. In the absence of the hands, I let me say, Honorable Hicklin, I think Miss, is it Tembeka? Yeah, it was Tembeka who was responding. Miss Tembeka, I think maybe she is confusing Acacia Park with another village. Since we came in, there has been no intercoms working, no cameras. We were informed that the cameras, they are only working by the gate and the perimeter of the park only. We were informed there. In fact, even if you can go to the entrance, you will see that they are only working on that. So there has been no stage that it has been working. We have been informed several times on the report that they are working. And we would, in the meeting, say this is not true. As we are saying, even today, even in the houses that they have been refurbished, we have members that are staying in those houses. The intercom is not working. Honorable Jobo's house was refurbished. The intercom is not working. So it is not true. If the contractor that said it has refurbished and done that, that means it has not done its work properly. So on that one. But Honorable Minister, we really appreciate the promise that you are making for the refurbishment and possible the demolition of these prefab units. Not only because they have preferred, Honorable Minister, our issue here is the asbestos roof. Nothing else. It is the asbestos roof, which we believe that it is a health hazard. So you can't have people staying in this, because when they go out after 5 years and someone develop lung disease, and then that person claims the state, I don't think it would be something that would all appreciate when we knew that the asbestos roof is not a good thing. But we appreciate the responses and the promise. I think before you came in, Honorable, because of the network, you're coming in and out, Honorable Shabalala, I really appreciate your presence, saying that a new broom sweeps clean. I don't know, okay, cousin, but that is the case, but we really appreciate the strides that you are making. I don't know on this one whether Tembeka, can you respond on this one? It's a pointed question to you.
Thank you, Chief. There are no cameras inside the villages themselves. The cameras are along the perimeter, including the detectors that are on the perimeter. There were some cameras that were not connected to the gate, and that was the complaint that we had received from SAFS, and that instruction has been issued, that is being attended to. In terms of the intercoms and the alarm systems, Chair, I was in Acacia Park 2 weeks ago, and before then, I was in Acacia Park a week before then on a walkabout with Parliament. All the units that were reported to have had intercoms and alarm systems repaired, we tested about 3 or 4 in Acacia Park, and the intercom systems was working. My request, Honorable Tay, and to the members, is that if there is an intercom that was recently refurbished and it is not functional, that must be reported to the office or to the prestige colleagues so that we can get the contractor back to repair those. The houses that were not part of the project, they were not, those intercom systems are still under the instruction that has been issued to Tefla for Tefla to repair. When we did the walkabout, we went to Acacia Park, Pelican Park, and Laboria Park. The intercoms we tested at the time when we called the gate, those intercom systems were functional. So if I can get that list, I will get the service providers to come back and repair the intercom system. Then in terms of the cameras, I think the report remains. We're waiting for the feedback from the subcontractor that has been appointed, security subcontractor appointed, so that all the cameras on the perimeter can be connected to the gate for SEPs to be able to view the cameras that have been installed. Thank you, Chair. We can provide a written report with the evidence, Chair, that we have presented in the meeting. Thank you very much.
Shabalala is back.
Okay, Honorable Shabalala, I didn't see your hand. Apologies. You want to have a follow-up question?
No, I thought someone mentioned my name. I grabbed something in the kitchen.
No, Honorable Shabalala, I was commenting on what you said earlier on. Not that we were asking you to say something. I think the issue that honorable minister that we can get reassurance on is this issue of fiber, because from the report that we got, we were informed that it has been sitting there like it's over 2 years now with the supply chain systems in the department. I think if we can get assurance on that one, that it's something that is going to be fixed, I think we would all be happy on that one.
Yes, we are going to follow up and give the report in the next meeting. But as I said, we will have to pay a visit and see what is happening and undertake an overall assessment on everything that has been raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Let me again appreciate the responses, the report that were given, and the responses that have been given to us as the members of the Portfolio Committee on the questions that we have raised on the report and the gaps that we have seen dealing with these issues, because it is not the first time, and would really appreciate you, Minister, doing your walkabout on these villages. And if we would be informed, because we really want to show you, we did that in the time that we were here. Everyone was laughing. I think Honorable Van Schalvik indicated everyone was laughing, asking, is there someone staying in this house? Unfortunately, I was the one staying in that house. I think at the time we had an acting DG, Mr. Was it Faiz, the one who has gone now. They were all laughing. No one can stay in this house. And unfortunately, I was the one staying in that house at the time. It was all bad, but there were changes that were done on it. But the reality is that something needs to be done. We can't expect that those that are staying there, they are the ones that have to take decisions, approve the department's budget when they are staying in such conditions that are so unbearable. But we appreciate you taking time and presenting this to us and promising us what is going to be done in the next few months. On that note, we can release the department minister and your team. Thank you, members, for such constructive questions and comments on this report. Can we get to the second item, that of dealing with the minutes of the previous meeting?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Lazi. The meeting on the 7th of June, honorable members, as the minutes were given to us, I think we did spend time reading, and we would like to, are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes that were...
Yes, I do have.
Honorable Hicklin?
6.9.
Okay, let's go to 6.9. Yes.
The committee wanted to know whether an emergency backup system existed to know. And 6.14, the committee noted that given the size and value of the property, the PMTE. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin.
Sorry, good morning, Chair.
Yes, please.
Sorry, Chair. 6.17, it was a submission by Honorable Sithlulo that was not captured. So I just highlighted it green so that the committee knows that it has been amended. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Honorable members, may we then have a mover for the adoption of this minutes as a true reflection of what we did last week?
I'll move, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. May I get a seconder, please, Honorable Members? Thank you, Honorable Van Skalvik. Thank you so much, Honorable Members, on that. The minutes have been such edited and adopted. Honorable Members, let me again appreciate the way that we deal with issues as this portfolio committee, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of the South Africans, and also punching holes in a report that we can see that it has gaps and providing solutions that the department may take in moving forward. On the update, Honorable Members, of the study tour, we're still dealing with it, Honorable Members, but it's not going to be in June, it's going to be in July. Today we will get an answer whether the host country has agreed or not, but we really appreciate the patience that we have shown in all this, Honorable Members. On some hiccups that have occurred before, we'll definitely brief you in the group. Apologies for those who tried to reach me. Unfortunately, yesterday I lost my phone, so I'm not available on my 066 number. I will do some stuff later today, and then I can be reachable. Apologies. I know maybe you tried to reach me and you couldn't reach me. On that note, Honorable Members, any announcements?
Sorry, Chair.
Yes?
Chair, I did receive during the meeting a apology from Honorable Zondo. And today, Chair, we're also adopting the report of Brackentown. It was on the agenda, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much.
It was sent to members as well via WhatsApp and email.
Thank you so much for reminding me that. I think the apology of Honorable Zondo should be included. In fact, when we deal with minutes next week, it is clear that he did apologize. Honorable Members, that is our report on the issue of the police station. So no one is going to present it to us, Mr. Denzin? Or we just adopted, Honorable Members?
I think someone needs to run it through us with us, Chair, is my opinion.
Yeah, that's why I was calling on Mr. Denzin Shu'aib.
Good morning, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to have to ask somebody to page for me. Chair, the report is fairly straightforward. I think one of the decisions the committee needs to make, first of all, good morning, everyone. My apologies. One of the decisions we have to make as a committee is how we are going to deal with this, with the recommendations, but also whether we want to put it to the House. Remember, the petition requests us to investigate the transfer of ownership of the property. Now, some of the information that came out is that there's uncertainty given the Regulation 293 of townships that used to be transferred for the purpose of land tenure for people who did not have addresses, etc., and deeds. Now, the committee, first of all, need to decide whether it is going to discuss this in the House, because that then influences what we say right at the end of the report. In other words, do we say report to be adopted by the House, or do we say report to be noted? If it's noted, then you don't need to discuss it. If you say the other ending, which then means there will be a statement per political party on the matter. That influences how the recommendations that we make as a committee is treated. So I don't want to go per meeting. I want to go to the recommendations. Carry on to the recommendations itself, please. Because the matters that were, the big matters were around the debt. Initially, we thought that's an issue, but the real issue is actually not that. The real issue is whether whether there is in fact a need to transfer the property to the department. Because what seems to be clear from the last meeting is that the property has been erroneously transferred to the municipality. Now, if that is the case, then that very first dispute of rental that's owned to the city cannot be true. Because it seems as if the department was paying rent to someone else for its own property. That needs to be resolved, because that will resolve the so-called debt issue. So if IRV 3231, extension 5, belonged to DPW all the time, then there's an amount of money that the city may have to pay back to the department. If it was not transferred erroneously, then we can return to the issue of debt. So what we do in 3.1 is we also say that in cases like this of a dispute between a national department and a municipality, or a provincial department, a national department and local government, these matters are guided by the principles of Chapter 3 of the Constitution. There are national treasury guidelines that would then can be used to determine how the debt issue is dealt with, if there is debt and the erroneous transfer. But in case of these types of disputes, there's a dispute resolution process and mechanism described in the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. And there's legal precedent around this as well, that we can dig out for the members. But I'm certain the department's legal people will do that in any case, and the city of Ekurhuleni's people will also, legal people will also do that. So that has to do with 3.1 then deals with the erroneous quote-unquote transfer and the issue of debt. Those are linked, and that will have to be dealt with. And in case there's a dispute in terms of the amount, et cetera, what the guidelines of the Constitution, the principles of Chapter 3 is that, and the Constitutional Court itself, in a number of cases, applied those principles. And the principles basically say that intergovernmentally, there should not be a dispute in court. The court is the final and last resort. These things must be dealt with in an amicable way, and all conflict resolutions and dispute resolutions and mechanisms must be put to life, and effort must be put in for no court procedures against one another. There are examples where the dispute resolution processes, according to the IGRFA, then did not succeed and people go to court. The court would always make certain that the principles of the constitutions and the IGRFA dispute resolution mechanisms has been exhausted. If it's not been exhausted, then it will send you back to the IGRFA and the dispute resolution mechanisms. Just go back to 3.2 for me, please. This is a matter that relates to a department that is unable to say how much it paid to a municipality. And we have cases not only in Ekurhuleni, we've got cases elsewhere as well, where the department would have, if it's got 500 properties, apologies, it pays for all 500 properties in bulk. It doesn't break its cost down and what it pays for. Now, when there's then a dispute, then the detail is lacking. This matter is not only applicable in this situation, but it's also in the audit reports that this type of weak financial record systems has been pointed out. So we are saying in 3.2 to the minister that the matter of this petition again raised these weaknesses in the financial record system of the department, and it requires urgent corrective attention. And we're saying instead of making bulk payments, its recording system needs to generate records that shows precisely which properties it pays for, which account it pays into. You remember, members may recall that in the case of this property, there was more than one account mentioned, and it seems like the department did not know that it had to pay it into that account. And this is the case that there needs to be a proper breakdown of the cost and the amount that was paid over all this period. The arrears in this case has been pointed out as about 1.8 million. But if this was paid erroneously to the municipality, obviously, that's why I mentioned the dispute resolution matter and that it must follow what is stated in the Act and in the Constitution, Chapter 3. Could we go to 3.3, please? The transfer of the land to the department cannot take place until those, I think it's one dispute, I don't think it's two disputes. I don't think there's a dispute about cost necessarily. It's just that the dispute about cost, the alleged debt, brought up the erroneous transfer. For me, the big thing is the erroneous transfer. Once that's established, then the debt comes in. And there is a way in which, according to Treasury guidelines, there is a way in which that can be sorted out between the national department and the municipality. But once that type of dispute is resolved, then we can go to the transfer as the petition requested. If the minister finds that there was no erroneous transfer, then we can move to the certainty. That certainty allows us to move the steps, to move to the technical steps of ascertaining the debt, the outstanding amount, and then we can get to what was discussed in the final meeting. That is the signing of a memorandum of understanding with the provincial government and the DPWI and City of Ekurhuleni. After that, the Council of City of Ekurhuleni, who is the executive authority, will have to officially agree to that MOU, and then the process of the transfer of the parcel of Earth 3231 Brackendowns Extension 5 can be initiated. Members, this matter also came out in our discussion earlier on, and the minister correctly refers to it. The meeting on this matter of Earth 3231 Extension 5, both the City of Ekurhuleni as well as SAPS pointed out that in their attempts to work with the DPWI as custodian of property, across the three meetings, it became a familiar echo. And this is also familiar when we talk to other client departments. Even Parliament as a client find this to be the case, and that is the lack of cooperation of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. It needs to urgently address the administration. That's both a leadership issue. I've been involved with this department since way before 2008, and then already it's had this culture of acting DGs. It needs to be resolved because the administration is suffering and it's not fully complying with laws and regulations. To return to the specifics of the matter, the case of how this parcel of land needs to be dealt with. If the custodian is not cooperating, then it's not going to be resolved. Just move slightly further up. Mr. Ben, please. No. I mean, you must page to the full of page 12, please. Yeah. So that this extension 5, Brackendowns Earth 3231, we don't even know whether, and the department did not tell us, whether they found the size to be suitable or not for safety and security purposes of this community. That's what I meant when we were, well, I was now not quite present, but if we look at an immovable asset register, which should really be a software issue, that software should be able to tell you that is the size of land, it's for safety and security, this is our assessment in terms of socio-economics. In other words, the full environmental impact and socio-economic impact analysis should be available on these registers so that we can see whether that's a hospital, that can be there, a school, or whatever. You can't have a police station in the same situation geographically and spatially as a police, as a clinic, for instance. And in this case, we really need the department to be able to tell us that. The need for investment analysis, we are saying in 3.5, in the fifth recommendation, that the minister must drive and fast track the process of investment analysis. The department said it was busy with this regarding Earth 3231 over the last 5 years, but it doesn't seem as if there is such an investment analysis. So we're saying the minister must fast track this process so that a speedy resolution of this earth, but also the safety and security needs of the community of Otema can be included, so that a proper police station can be constructed for them as well. We ended the report with a report to be considered. In the case of that, the assembly will then, the table staff will look at this and then will put it on the agenda for the members as a committee to discuss. You will then be given your minutes per party and you will make a statement on this. You need to decide as a committee, therefore, whether you want to end it as a report to be noted. And I would suggest it should be report to be noted rather than considered, so that we as a committee can follow up on this matter, because it's five actions that need to be taken by the minister and the department before anything can happen. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Shuaib, for the explanation and for the advice and suggestion on the report itself. I'm now bringing it to you, Honorable Members, how to deal with this. I can see the hand of Honorable Hicklin. Over to you, Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair. Again, I would only like to include possibly in, I would suggest point 3.4, Shuaib, you could guide me on this. My favorite hobby horse of UAMPS, because it appears that there is a lot of talking and no action. And when you look at where the situation of this piece of land is in terms of the needs of the population around it, have they done a user asset management evaluation? Have they done what is required in terms of the Guyana? Have they actually investigated whether a user asset management plan has actually been done? It doesn't appear to have been done, because the site is definitely not big enough for the needs of this community, and therefore I'm saying they have not done a UM. And the fact that there is a lack of communication and a lack of cooperation is a direct violation of Guyana, because Guyana states categorically that there is a need for continued interaction and cooperation between the DPWI and its clients. And this is clearly not the case. So somewhere along the line in the recommendations, we have to make a statement, in my humble opinion, that we comply with, the department complies with GIAMA, and that a proper user asset management plan is done. And if we can do that, then I would be happy to say that it can be noted, and that we then give the department a list of a to-do list with a time frame. Thank you. That's my input, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Any other additions on the report, Honorable Members? On this issue, how do we deal with this issue that Shuaib has raised, that we take the report to Parliament, and then when we have to deal with it, we then have members of different parties doing a declaration on it, or we let the Parliament adopt it or note it. We were given, this is not the first petition that we are dealing with, Honourable Members. We had a petition from Free State, we had a petition from Northwest, we had a petition from Honourable Zitheron from good on the issue of EPWP. So we've had many petitions.
Sihlolo also gave us one, Chair.
Honorable Sihlolo, before you...
Two, actually, Chair, two petitions.
Before he became our member, there were also his petitions. So it's not for the first time. So I and we have always adopted the reports before we forwarded it to Parliament, because all the petitions have been forwarded to this portfolio committee from Parliament, because when you write the petition, you write it to Parliament. So I want us to come on that point that has been raised by Mr. Shoaib. Honourable members.
To accept the
benefit. Yes, Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
The chairperson, but I want to align myself with a proposal made by the content advisor. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Van Schalkwyk. Okay, we'll take that one. And on that note, can we then adopt this as our report, honorable members, and then we will deal with it in Parliament. Can we adopt it as our report?
I move, Chair.
Thank you, honorable Shabalala. May I get a seconder, please?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, honorable Van Schalkwyk. We can feel that you are not well. Please attend to that fever. There is a bout of flu that is going around, honorable members, and it is not good. It's painful once it gets you. It's not good at all. Please attend to it, honorable Van Schalkwyk. I think on that note, honorable members, with the corrections that have been raised by and some of the issues that may be put in our report raised by honorable Hicklin, we adopt this as our report, and then we'll deal with it when it goes to Parliament. Thank you so much from our team that drafted this report for us. Thank you again, honorable members, for your constructive deliberations on the report that we had with the department, raising the gaps that were there in the report that they provided for us. On that note, I think we must call it a day. The meeting is adjourned. See you.
Shoaib.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Shoaib.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much. Thank you, Shoaib. I know you weren't well. Thank you. I'm sorry I put you on the spot. Thank you so much.
It's all good. It's all good.
Shoaib.
Mr. Ben. Yes, can you stay behind for like 2 seconds when everybody leaves?
Where do I get you in the building?
Fourth floor.